Okay, good afternoon, everyone. So just brief introduction, as was said before Mass. My name is Sam Fontana. I'm a priest from Lafayette. I teach at the seminary in Covington. So I don't come across the lake often, but it's an honor to be here, this beautiful church, and to celebrate this Mass with all of y'all. And the scriptures that the church gives us today, they speak in a very powerful way about wisdom. The wisdom that is proper to the Christian, the wisdom that allows us to grab a hold of the kingdom of God that is among us, and the wisdom that as Christians we have to beg for. We got to ask for this wisdom. And so the church gives us the example of Solomon, and then also the Lord Jesus himself, okay, who in his own way through these parables is urging his disciples to be seekers of wisdom. So first, when we talk about Solomon, a little bit this first reading, why is he an example for the Christian? Secondly, we'll talk about what is this wisdom, the wisdom that Solomon wants, that he begs for, and that he gets. What is the wisdom precisely that Jesus needs his disciples to also beg for? And then last of all, what does it mean? What does it mean for us to be wise Christians in the world? So first of all, we can say when we see Solomon, this prayer of Solomon, there are two things that jump out to me. The first is that his petition itself is pleasing to God. So you can imagine, you're the king, you can do anything you want, right? You got all power, you snap your fingers and stuff happens, you give orders, and yet here is a man who's begging, who's asking, and the fact that he asks at all is itself pleasing to God, right? It's almost as though God has already consented to give whatever he'll ask for, right? Which is, he says, ask for anything and I'll give it to you. The asking itself can't be overlooked, right? It can't be taken for granted. And secondly, what he asks for, right, not long life, not, victory over my enemies, whatever, what he asks for, wisdom, is not only pleasing, but it's proper. It's proper to kings. In other words, it's a gift fitting for a man such as him, a man of authority, a man who has to govern, who has to judge. So he could ask for anything. The mere act of asking is pleasing to God. And what he asks for, God is so pleased to give because it's fitting. It's a good gift. The Father knows how to give good gifts to his children. And so what is it? What is that he asks for? He asks for wisdom. So let's talk a little bit about wisdom. What do we mean by wisdom? You could say the kind of wisdom that Solomon wants is the ability to judge. That's what it says in the scriptures. I'm a young man. I don't have experience. I don't know how to judge right from wrong. We could almost tweak that a little bit. I used to teach 7th and 8th graders. Well, they're not kids, but younger people than I teach now. And I'd always tell them, I said, look, y'all are 13, 14 years old. You know right from wrong. It doesn't take a college degree. It doesn't take a lot of life experience to know right from wrong. You learn that when you're a little kid, the Ten Commandments. But what about the difference between good, better, and best? That's a very different thing, right? Even a child can look at right and distinguish it from wrong in a lot of circumstances. But it takes a lot more. It takes a whole different kind of thinking to distinguish the good, the better, and the best. That's the difference between knowledge and prudence. And prudence, to choose the best out of the good and the better, can only be had by people with experience, right? Children can't be prudent. Young adults can't be prudent. They make all kinds of mistakes. It takes a lot of experience to know exactly not just the good, but what's the good in this time, in this situation, for this person, in this circumstance. It's very particular, right? So he's asking for a prudential wisdom, the ability to judge the good, the better, and the best, because he doesn't have that. He's a young man. So he's asking for a practical wisdom. Now, wisdom, you can say in general, this is where we're going, okay, if you're taking notes, this is where we're going. Wisdom is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Wisdom is one of the names of God himself. We think of the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of wisdom. Wisdom is one of the gifts that God infuses into all of the baptized. And so what is it? What is it that Solomon is asking for? What is it that we as Christians need to beg for when we ask for wisdom? At the same time that some of the books of wisdom in the Old Testament were being written, there were men in Greece who called themselves philosophers, that is, lovers of wisdom, men who were seeking wisdom. And what they meant by wisdom was essentially this. They wanted to know not just that things are, they wanted to know why things are. The wisdom that they sought, you could say, is a wisdom, it's a knowledge of causes, right? It doesn't take a lot to know that it's raining, but to know why it's raining, it's a different kind of knowledge, right? It's a deeper kind of knowledge. Or to know that the economy is tanking, fine, but to know why, you got to study economics or something. So the pagan Greeks, these lovers of wisdom, they were seeking to know why the world was the way it was. What's the ultimate reason for things? And this is why they became men of science, right? Studying causes. And they said, if we could only find the ultimate reason why things are, the ultimate cause, right? This would be a divine kind of knowledge. This would be the kind of knowledge that God has. You could say that someone like Job, who we meet in the Old Testament, is also a lover of wisdom in this sense. Job's not satisfied with just knowing that he's suffering. He wants to know why he's suffering. Why is it that a righteous man is being punished this way? He's not satisfied with human responses. Ultimately, he wants to know God's reason, right? And that's why his seeking of wisdom ultimately becomes a prayer. Only God can respond to Job and tell him why things are the way they are. So this is the first thing we see, that wisdom is a deep knowledge, a knowledge of why things are the way they are, of the causes of things. Now, in the Hebrew scriptures that we see in the book of Proverbs, in the Psalms, in the Wisdom of Solomon, the book of Sirach, in the Hebrew scriptures, wisdom is always something very practical. Something very practical. The Greeks are doing mathematics. They're doing all kind of abstract stuff. They're men of science. The Hebrews are men of action. They're men of piety. We don't need to know why the universe is the way it is, because God has already told us what is good for us, how to live, what is a good life, right? So in the Hebrew mind, wisdom becomes something very practical, and it's related to the commandments. So even go back and look at the psalm we just read. Lord, I love your commands. I love your commands. This is what young Hebrew men would have meditated on in order to learn wisdom. You want to know how to judge good, better, and best? You have to study on a deep way what God has said, right? God's commandments, what God has spoken. This is exactly, I think, what Solomon is asking for, right? He doesn't need to know the secrets of the universe. He needs to know, in some sense, the secrets of the human heart, the ability to judge in light of eternity. Okay, so the Christian does not have to be an astrophysicist, right? We don't have to be philosophers, but we have to be people of prudence and people of divine wisdom. Right? Those are the gifts of the Holy Spirit that are given to all the baptized. So what is it that Solomon needs? What precisely is this prudence? In a beautiful way, this shows you how the church kind of works, the way the liturgy works together. We pray the collect of the Mass, the opening prayer of the Mass, to me, is one of the most elegant, in a nutshell, explanations of what is the wisdom that the Spirit gives to the baptized. We asked, Lord, teach us to judge these good things that pass away so that even now we can lay hold to those good things that are eternal. I'm paraphrasing. All right, so think about what we prayed. Lord, teach me to judge, right? That is to look at, to be critical of, right? To put in the right order, to weigh, to value. Teach me to see, to judge, to value, to put in order all the good things in my life, which ultimately are passing away. What are we talking about? We're talking about our jobs. We're talking about politics. We're talking about the economy. We're talking about our families. We're talking about what you do on a Saturday night, you know, to relax. We're talking about everything in life, right? Every good thing in life ultimately is passing away. Well, just think about that, right? How much energy do people spend worrying about this, worrying about that, anxiety, or wasting time on things that ultimately make no difference and neglecting things that make a lot of difference? How are we to judge rightly how to look at all the good things that pass in this life? If only someone could shine a light and could show us what is the meaning of this thing, what's the value of this person, of this whatever it is, what's its value? Not from the view of earth, but from the view of heaven. All right, think about that. a relationship with your neighbor, with your kids, with your spouse, a vacation you take, $50 that you spend on this thing or that other thing, what is that action, that person, that relationship in the light of eternity? When you get to heaven and look back on how you spent, you know, 2 hours on a Saturday night, how would you judge it? How would you weigh it? I think this is the kind of wisdom, okay, that we as a church this Sunday are praying for, and we as individual Christians need to beg for. Lord, teach me to judge, to value all the things that are passing in this life. Why? Because they don't matter? No, because they do matter. Because I need to use them in such a way to grab a hold of what does not pass away. And this is what Jesus speaks about in these parables from the gospel, the kingdom. The kingdom is like a man who discovers a treasure and sells everything he has, liquidates everything, right? He takes the IRA, you know, it's like tax-free. He pays taxes on it. He sells everything. He liquidates his whole retirement, everything, to buy the field to get the treasure. That's crazy. That's incredibly imprudent from the point of view of the world. Or the man who sells his whole stock of pearls, liquidates the whole stock to buy one pearl. So what is Jesus saying? The kingdom of God is there for the taking, but as he says elsewhere in the scripture, the children of this generation are less wise, they're wiser in the things of the world, in making money, in getting problems solved, than they are wise in what matters to God. The kingdom of God is there for the taking, but only the wise will be able to value, to judge, to order, and to lay hold of eternity even now. Now, as Christians, all of us, when we were baptized, we became priestly people, we became kingly people. Solomon, like I said, his asking is pleasing, and what he asks is fitting. Right? You can't be a king without prudence, without the capacity to judge. We as Christians are kingly people. Right? What does that mean? That means that God rules over all of creation. God rules over the universe. God rules over the church. But he uses us. He uses our freedom to bring about that reign. That's what we pray in the Our Father. Lord, may your kingdom come partly through me, right? Through my conformity with your will. May your kingdom come for me and through me. So when we were baptized, we became kings in the kingship of Jesus Christ. So there is a little portion of God's kingdom. It might be big, might be small, right? Whatever it is. There's a portion of the church, a portion of the kingdom that's been given to me, to my prudence, to my ability to weigh correctly, to value correctly, and to offer back to God, right? Something that will exist for all eternity. Maybe it's just my family. Maybe it's just my neighbor. I don't care what it is. Each Christian, right, has a share in that kingship. And secondly, when we were baptized, we became priests. We were baptized to be priests. Priests are those who offer sacrifice, who offer sacrifice. Jesus says he sold everything to purchase the pearl of great price. Right? He sacrificed. When we come to Mass, I think we need to be aware of this. We come to Mass as a kingly people, as a priestly people. We've come to take the world, which is crazy, y'all. There's all kind of crazy stuff going on in the world. We've come to take that world and to surrender it to the reign of Christ, but to his wisdom, right? We've come to take our lives and to make them a sacrifice, to join them with the Eucharist, that they can become not just our lives, transformed, something that's eternal. So as we said, when Solomon prays this prayer, the very fact that he begs is pleasing to God. Do you remember when Jesus says, ask for whatever you will in my name, and I will give it to you, because in this is my Father well pleased, that you become my disciples and bear much fruit. We can't overstate this. God is pleased when we make petition. God is pleased when we ask him very particularly for those things that we need, not to just get through the day, okay, but what we need in order to be a priestly people, a kingly people. And so the world, the church, which is in the world, is depending upon us in this church, right, to take the decisions of leaders and submit them to the wisdom of Christ, right, to take the chaos, the violence, and surrender it to the peace that Christ can bring about. We've come here, just as Solomon, not on our own behalf. We petition on behalf of all the people. And so we hear Solomon say, right? Give your servant, therefore, an understanding heart, because I serve you in the midst of a people whom you have chosen, so vast it cannot be numbered or counted. So you've come to Mass not for yourself. You've come to Mass because you too serve a people so vast it can't be counted. And your wisdom, your prudence, which the Holy Spirit gives you, the gift of counsel, the gift of wisdom, right, is what is bringing the church to greater salvation. And so let's imitate this holy man Solomon in this Mass. Let's beg the Lord to make our hearts also understanding. We can know that we can judge these things that are passing, and so lay hold of what does not pass away. Amen.